Hey there, welcome to the show. It's Gary Zimak, and it is now day 10 of our 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Unbelievable, isn't it, that we are at day 10 already? I am so excited. Every year when I do this, I get excited. And you'll hear as we go through the 33-day preparation, I'm going to even get more excited because this is a great thing. Excuse me, I'm getting choked up here. This is a great thing. We are in the midst right now of ridding ourselves of the spirit of the world, right? This is the initial phase before we really get into preparing for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Now, St. Louis de Montfort recommends that we spend 12 days in this phase. Amazing, isn't it? Because the world affects us, whether we admit it or not. I was thinking about that earlier today. Some things were happening in my life, and I thought, man, the world is different. There is a different feeling, a different belief that you get from the world than the belief of Christ. We're going to hear it when we look at today's gospel. St. Luke does his own version of the Beatitudes in today's gospel. And you know, the message is clear. Our reward is something that we are not going to fully receive in this life, on this earth. It's just not going to happen. If we are followers of Christ, and we all claim to be followers of Christ, but if we're truly followers of Christ, we can expect to run into roadblocks, to meet opposition, to suffer. It's going to happen. Let's not deny it. It's going to happen. But our reward is going to be great. The question is, are you willing to postpone your reward? And guess what? Even if you say no, the reward you can get in this life, it ain't that good. You think it might be, but it's temporary, it's fleeting, it doesn't last, and it is not going to give you the peace that comes from having this relationship with Jesus Christ. It just isn't. I've tried it. It doesn't work. So today we're going to, once again, look at the book Consecration to Jesus through Mary, the world's disobedience. We're going to talk about disobedience, the world saying no to God. That's the meditation for today. Let's kick it off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to another day of our total consecration preparation. We ask you to help us, to guide us, to send us your Holy Spirit so that we may be enlightened, so that we may stay on the right path, so that we may endure without giving in, so that we might not quit, even though we feel like quitting this preparation. Father, we ask you to bless us and our families, bless all of those around us, help us to be a light shining in the darkness. Bless those who are suffering from the effects of Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, the earthquake in Mexico, and any other natural disaster. Please bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please put an end to abortion in the world. And please help those who are struggling with religious persecution. Father, we lift our intentions up to you. We hand them over to you. We give them to you. And we ask you to handle them for us. And Father, I ask you to speak through me on the program today and open our minds and hearts so that we can be receptive to the words that you speak through me. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. All right, here we go. You ready to get started talking about the world's disobedience? By the way, I'm Gary Zimak. Welcome to the show. If this is your first time, welcome. Relax. Snacking and drinking is recommended here. You might, depending on how bad you think I am, you know, you're going to decide what your best beverage should be. I don't know a nice way to say that, but it's just great to be with you. I normally have my beverage du jour. I forgot it again. I think I forgot it yesterday. I was in such a hurry to get this show done that it just slipped my mind. But I'm ready to get started. We're in the midst of total consecration to Jesus through Mary. It is not too late for you to join now. We're in the initial stages when we are, at this point, ridding ourselves of the spirit of the world. That's all we're doing. Next week, we'll spend a week looking at ourselves. Boy, that's not going to be fun. I'll tell you that right now. Then a week looking at Mary, and then a week looking at Jesus. And then guess what? You're going to be done. October the 7th, it all comes together. You get the opportunity to consecrate your life to Jesus through Mary. Stay tuned. We will talk more about it. I'm going to address your doubts because you're going to have them. You're going to want to quit. You're going to think it's too weird. You're going to think any number of things. You can always write to me at Gary@followingthetruth.com and we can chat. I don't want you to quit for the wrong reason. You can quit if you want. I'm not going to force you. I'm going to strongly urge that you stick with it and that you consecrate your life on October the 7th, but the choice ultimately is yours. And even if you do it and you change your mind, you can rescind it. So you're not signing your life away. You can change your mind. I want you to know that. I'm going to be really honest with you. I'm not going to mislead you. But I strongly recommend that you do it because it will help you tremendously. The world's disobedience, the meditation for day 10, saying no. Before God made the world, a rebellion had occurred in heaven. Lucifer, the great light bearer, had led many angels to say no. They would not serve God. They were punished forever. An angel never changes his mind. His first choice is his unchangeable decision. Lucifer became Satan, the obstacle, and under his influence, mankind also said, "No, God, I will not keep your law." As people continued to say no, the results were disastrous. Cain killed Abel, and the problem reached gigantic proportions. The Lord saw how great was man's wickedness on earth. He regretted that he had made man. This is in Genesis 6, verses 5 through 6. A couple of things happening here. Number one, Lucifer started out as an angel. His name meant light bearer, right? But he said no to the Lord. He became Satan because he disobeyed. Angels having infinite wisdom, they know all of the facts, unlike us. Sometimes we can make a decision, and we make the wrong decision. He knew what he was doing when he made this decision. That's what our church teaches. Therefore, he was condemned to hell. He's determined to take as many people to hell with him as possible. He wants you. He wants you. And you know what? Even if he doesn't get your soul and you make it to heaven, and I really hope you do, every time you disobey, every time you sin, he's going to dance for joy. He's happy. If you get into the habit of making Satan happy, it's not a good thing. You don't need me to tell you that. It is not a good thing. We can claim, yes, we are Christians, we're so good, but how many times each day do we fall, do we sin? It's real. It happens. Sin is a part of our lives, my life and your life. Noah said yes. Fortunately, someone said yes. Noah found favor with the Lord, Genesis 6, 8. He built an ark and saved mankind. Centuries later, an angel came to the holiest woman in history and told Mary that she had found favor with the Lord. When Mary said her yes, let it be done according to God's word, obedience was restored to the world. Her son, Jesus, always said yes. He was obedient, even to death on the cross, and God exalted him. Look around your world. The world teaches disobedience. Mankind has made himself into the new God with a small g. He lives in the evil spirit of disobedience. Like the prodigal son, the world has asked for its inheritance and has left the Father's house. Now for 33 days, Mary invites you to return. She removes your disobedient spirit, which is slavery, and clothes you in the true freedom of saying yes to God. When we hear this, I think the natural reaction is to say, yeah, I don't really do that, or I'm not too big of a sinner. All of your sins are bad. We've got to accept that. You know, that's something that I have to really understand as well. I have to understand that. It's hard to accept because we always want to look at somebody else and say, well, I'm not as bad as that person. And we pick and choose who we'll compare ourselves to. Or we'll compare ourselves to somebody holy even Jesus or the Blessed Mother, and we'll say, well, they're so good, there's no way I could ever be like that. So therefore, I'm just going to continue to sin and do what I want. That's a mistake. The Lord expects better from us. And this is one of the reasons that we're making total consecration, because we're asking Mary to help us. I'm telling you, I've said this over and over, and I'm going to keep saying it because I don't want you to get caught by surprise. When you're judged, there's going to be no time for making excuses. You've got one shot at this. Today might be your last day on this earth. Today's that chance to say, I am full speed ahead. I am committed to this total consecration. I want to do everything in my power to take advantage of what the church offers me so that I can stop saying no to the Lord. And this is what the church offers. One of the great things that the church offers, this idea of the Blessed Mother. She'll help you, because it's not easy to be good. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's easy to be a lukewarm Christian, but it's not easy to be a good Christian. It's not easy to be a follower of Christ. Why? Because the world's going to tell you you're a nut. And the world's going to beat you down. And the world's going to laugh at you. And the world's going to call you a hypocrite. You know what? The world's wrong. The world is wrong. Yeah, we have to live in the world. But this is your chance to make a difference. You, one person, can make a difference in the world. So many times we think, oh, what difference can I make? It all starts with you. You have control over you. You don't have control over anybody else. And I see a lot of finger pointing going on. This guy should really start to say this, or this person's a hypocrite, or my parish priest should speak out against abortion, or the bishops, they're so wrong. Stop. It's up to us. And I'm not going to sit here and mislead you, because I care too much about your soul. That's why I do what I do. That's why I'm getting swamped with the waves right now. And I'm not looking for anybody to feel sorry for me. But it's hard sometimes to constantly swim upstream. It's hard to get beaten down by waves. But you know what? Since I've turned my life over to Jesus Christ, He has made me so happy, so peaceful. And am I suffering? Yeah, I'm suffering. I'm getting hit from a lot of different directions right now. But I promise you, it is so worth it. Because in heaven, it's going to be really, really good. Therefore, I'm willing to pay the price to give it to you straight and to tell you the truth. And the truth is, the world's lying to you. They don't have the answers. Happiness doesn't exist in being a lukewarm Catholic and going through the motions, even though it seems like fun. You know, why should it be so hard? I want to take the easy way out. I just want to go to church, but I don't want to do any of this hard stuff. Well, the hard stuff is what is going to get your soul to heaven. And that's what we realize when you really start to embrace the cross and accept your Christianity and truly follow Jesus. That's when you realize, hey, this is hard. Mary's going to help you. Of course it's hard. It was hard to go up on a cross and die. But Mary will help us to be good Christians, to follow the Lord, even when the world tries to beat us down. The disobedience of St. Francis of Assisi. Francis spent his youth in extravagant living and in fighting wars, even spending a year as a prisoner of war. When he was released, he took up his usual ways. One day, however, he met a poor man and changed clothes with him. Francis was always well-dressed. He took ill and heard a heavenly voice, "Serve the master, not other men." The changing moment came when he gave alms to a leper, and then he kissed the man. Ever so slowly, Francis became Christ's obedient follower. It's really easy to be a moderate, lukewarm Christian. We're called to so much more. Christ died on the cross, a painful, bloody, horrible, agonizing death for you, to open the gates of heaven for you personally. How do you want to respond? Do you want to respond by lukewarmness, or do you want to give him your life? That's what he wants. He wants your life. You can't do that without some help. Mary's ready to help you. take advantage of this great offer. St. Louis de Montfort writes, "The first step to acquiring obedience is a sincere desire for instruction. Through disobedience, heaven was closed. No one could open it. Through disobedience, hell was opened, and no one could close it. God's masterpiece, mankind, became the devil's slave. Millions had to suffer from one man's disobedience. 1,000 times happy is the man in whom obedience has its abode. Nowhere is God so present as in the obedient Mary." The words of St. Louis de Montfort. Let's go with our prayers. Come, Creator, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, Creator. Come to me, come from your bright heavenly throne. Come, take possession of my soul and make it all your own. You who are called the Paraclete, best gift of God above. The living spirit, the living fire, sweet unction, and true love. You who are sevenfold in your grace, finger of God's right hand, his promise, teaching little ones to speak and understand. O guide our minds with your blessed light, with love our hearts inflame, and with your strength which never delays, confirm our mortal frame. Far from us drive our hellish foe, true peace unto us bring. And through all perils guide us safely beneath your sacred wing. Through you may we the Father know, through you the eternal Son, and you the Spirit of them both, three blessed, three in one. All glory to the Father be, and to the risen Son, the same to you, O Paraclete, while endless ages run. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Please spread the grace of the flame of love over all humanity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, there you go. As you can see, I got a little fired up. But this is serious business. This is not for the faint of heart. This is not for the lukewarm. But you know what? This is going to bring you great peace. The closer you get to the Lord, even though there's going to be some work involved on your part, the more peaceful you will be, and the greater your chances for getting to heaven one day, which is where we are all destined to go. Amen? Okay, you're listening to the Gary Zimak Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to take a little break, and I'll be back with today's daily Mass readings. Don't go anywhere. Please stick around, because you've got to hear these great Mass readings today.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. As an observer, I would say his faith is his strength. That's how Father Ed Steiner from Nashville's Cathedral of the Incarnation described his parishioner, Grammy Award-winning singer Keith Urban. During an interview with the website CelebBuzz, Father Steiner noted that though Keith and his wife, actress Nicole Kidman, travel a lot, they attend church there when they're home in Nashville. In addition, Father Steiner describes Keith as an attentive father to his two daughters. He says, when they've had to take their daughters to the church nursery, Keith is not the type of father who just drops her off. He visits with all our sitters and religious ed teachers. He interacts with other people's children in a very positive way. What I've really experienced from him is what a loving father he is. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
All right, welcome back to the show. Thanks for sticking with me for what I consider the most important part of the program. When we look at the daily Mass readings today, we look at the readings for Wednesday of the 23rd week in Ordinary Time. The first reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Brothers and sisters, if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. Put to death then the parts of you that are earthly: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming upon the disobedient. By these you too once conducted yourselves, when you lived in that way. But now you must put them all away: anger, fury, malice, slander, and obscene language out of your mouths. Stop lying to one another, since you have taken off that old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Paul's very clear. That's the message today. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. We have to stop it. We have to stop it. We're so busy pointing fingers, finding fault. Look at social media. It drives me crazy. Everybody's got a problem with everybody else, but yet when I look at my life, I'm a mess. I have so many things to do. I can't control other people. I agree. The Lord wants us to point out other people's faults sometimes, when appropriate, at the right time, in the given situation. But if I'm going to spend all my time pointing fingers at everybody else, I don't have any time to look at my own life and examine my conscience. St. Paul is telling us to put away anger, fury, malice, slander, and obscene language out of your mouths. That's clear. I mean, how are we going to go to judgment and say, I know I did all those things, but I didn't know? Well, we know because he's telling us. Let's take it seriously. Let's take it seriously. In this life, we are called to be Christ to others. We are part of the body of Christ. Let's act like it, right? I mean, this is powerful, powerful stuff. Psalm 145 is the responsorial psalm. The Lord is compassionate toward all his works. Every day I bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, making known to men your might and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom for all ages, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is compassionate toward all his works. He's compassionate. He loves you. He's merciful. He wants to show you mercy, but you need to show mercy to others. One of the things we need to do in order to show mercy to others, obviously, is to forgive them for their offenses, but to share Jesus with them as well. The world needs Jesus. The world needs Jesus. You have coworkers. You may have family members who don't go to church, who have left the faith, who are lost. What are you going to do to bring them back? You don't necessarily have to preach to them. You don't necessarily have to break open your Bible. You start by being nice to them, by being positive, by being joyful. There's so much negativity and cynicism in the world. So many people are sad. They need Jesus. They need the love of Jesus in their lives. You can be that love. You can be Jesus to them. Take it gradually. You start by being nice to them. You start by being positive. You start by not gossiping and cursing. You start by being a Christian in the workplace or wherever you go, wherever you are, at school or even at home, wherever. Starts there. Starts by forgiving offenses. Starts with forgiving offenses. And then eventually, and it's going to take time, expect persecution. Where do you hear the gospel? Over time. The light, your light will shine, right? And people will respond at the right time. But every time you're nice, every time you forgive somebody, every time you're positive, every time you don't curse, every time you don't gossip, you're planting a seed. What would Jesus do? You want to compare yourself to somebody? Compare yourself to Jesus Christ. It's pretty ugly when you do that, I'll be honest. But we need to do that. Today's gospel, Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 26. Raising his eyes toward his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. But woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." Oh boy. here we go. Now it gets real. Now the rubber's hitting the road. You're going to make enemies by being a Christian. You're going to experience sadness in life. You will be persecuted. Maybe it's just a verbal persecution, but it still hurts. If you do that and you endure, your reward in heaven will be great. Now, what Jesus is saying here, now this is Luke's version of the Beatitudes, a little different than the ones we're familiar with from Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Your reward will be great in heaven. You'll suffer. You'll have difficulties in this life. But this life's going to be over. You don't want to put all your eggs in this earthly basket. Because this life will be over in the blink of an eye. It doesn't last that long. But we're so short-sighted. All we see is the now. I want this. I'm going to go for it. I want to feel good. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to work at anything. I just want pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. And the world's throwing it to you. Buy this, you're going to have pleasure. Do this, you're going to enjoy yourself. Life is short. Have fun now. But we can't forget, life isn't short. Earthly life is short. Life is eternal. We have to end up in the right place. Otherwise, we completely wasted our life. Please don't be in that position. Please don't be in that position. Is it a sin to be rich? No. Jesus is using hyperbole here. If you seek your consolation, your reward in riches, if that's all you care about is riches, money, 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 I like money, it makes me feel good, I count money in the bank, I love it. If that's all you seek, then yeah, you got what you wanted. And the Lord's going to respect your free will. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Again, hyperbole, exaggeration. What he's saying is if you don't pick up your cross, if you run from your cross, if you never pray, if all you do is watch television shows and movies that take your mind off of reality, if that's all you do, you're not going to have any time to talk to the Lord. You're not going to have time to have that relationship with him. And if you don't have that relationship, you're not going to make it to heaven. Talk to the Lord. You know, it's okay to escape from reality sometimes. It is. It's okay to watch sports. It's okay to watch TV, watch movies. It's all right. I love music, not just Christian music. I love secular music. I've loved music all my life. I like to listen to music sometimes. It's okay. But just don't let it take away from your time with the Lord. If you got a problem, make sure you're talking to the Lord about it. If you're worried about something, don't just listen to something that makes you feel good. Go to Jesus first and say, Jesus, hey, I got this real problem. Can you help me with this? Make sure you're talking to him. And then you can listen to some music, or then you can do something fun. You can go have an ice cream sundae or whatever. That's okay, as long as you're not neglecting the Lord. He's got to be your go-to guy. And this is one of the reasons we ask for the Blessed Mother's help. That's why total consecration is so great, because we do have these tendencies. I got problems in my life. You know what? I'm just going to go and indulge. I'm going to buy some fattening food and just enjoy myself. I'm going to have a beer or 10 and just feel really good. That's our tendency a lot of times, because we want to escape. We want to get away from it. So what do? We turn to Mary and say, hey, Mom, you know what? I have this bad tendency. I'm lazy. When the waves start beating me and I'm outside of the boat being a Christian, I want to hop back in the boat and go to smooth seas. That's my tendency. That's what I want to do. And by the way, this is me speaking. I'll totally tell you that. That's the way I am. But see, the Blessed Mother can take us by the hand and say, no, no, stay with me. You need to be with the Lord. She was at the foot of the cross. She was there when Jesus was crucified. She didn't run away because she needed to be there. Suffering is a part of life. But with the Lord and the grace that he gives you, that suffering can become sweet. Total consecration is going to help you in incredible ways. Man, I was fired up today. I hope that was okay. But listen, I believe what I do here. I'm willing to put it on the line because I believe in Jesus Christ, and I want you to know him and love him and serve him so that he'll get you to heaven with Mary's help. For more information about my apostolate, visit followingthetruth.com. I'd love to come out to speak to your parish. My specialty is overcoming anxiety with the help of the Lord. How do you stop worrying? I'm going to tell you. It has to do with Jesus. I'll give you that much of a hint. Also, I need your support. If you would like to see my work continue, please, 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 I need some more monthly donors to help my work. Followingthetruth.com. Click on support. A lot of you are listening saying, yeah, I like Gary. I like the work he's doing, but I never gave him any money. If you have it and you can spend some, you can afford it, please, I could really use it now. You know, I talk about this and I hate talking about it, but I really need your support. Also, the podcast, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, if you're a worrier or you know somebody who's a worrier, if you subscribe to that podcast, that helps me financially too. It doesn't cost more than a few cents a day, and you're going to get it delivered first thing in the morning, 5 minutes each day. Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, based on a Bible verse, a little inspiration to get you started. All right, I'm going to run. Thanks for joining me. Remember, followingthetruth.com is the place to go to find out information or to get in touch with me. Have a wonderful day. Remember, the Lord's with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, he's still there. Make sure you say hi. Until we meet again, this is Gary Zimak saying God bless you. Thanks for listening. The Gary Zimak Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.